We're beginning Masechta Chagiga. We have it as the last Masechta of Seder Moed, which means in less than 4 weeks, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be able to make a siyum on the entire Seder. The Rambam says the reason why it's put last is because the first topic of it, which is the Aliyah L'Regel and the Chiyuv of Aliyah L'Regel on the Korbanos, are only binding on men, as we're going to see in the Mishnah. Women are potter, as opposed to pretty much everything else we had in Seder Moed up until this point is an obligation on both men and women. With that said, we learned yesterday that Tosfos had said that in their versions, Moed Katan was last. They said that's why the last Mishnah they were in Moed Katan ended on a happy note, because it was in order to end the whole Seder on a happy note. The in Rav Shuda going to get us, actually, one of the questions that he was asked was, why are the Mishnayos in the order that they are? And he answers that really you could learn them in any order you want, but he explains, as far as Seder Moed, as far as some of the Masechtas in Seder Moed, why we and all yeshivas in Bavel learn them in a particular order. But he says, you want to learn them in a different order, because they're hate. But we have it as the last Masechta. The major topics of it are, so the two major Yom Tov related topics in it are, number one, again, the chiyuv of aliyah l'regel and the korbanos that you have to bring. There's three mitzvahs that a person has during Yom Tov in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. There's a mitzvah to be oileh l'regel and with it to bring an oilas re'iyah and a shalmei chagiga. And sometime during that period, you bring an oilas re'iyah, an oila in honor of the fact that you're visiting and being seen in the and seeing the Shechina and being seen by Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash. You have Shalmei Chagiga. You have to bring a Shlomim as a Chagiga sometime during the Yom Tov. And you also have, there's a mitzvah of Simcha, which is an Ein Simcha El B'Basar. The Simcha involves eating meat of a Shlomim. So therefore, you have to bring Korbanos during the Yom Tov so that you have meat from Korbanos to eat. So we're going to talk about all three of those as we go through the Masechta. One thing there is also, besides the chagiga that you bring during Yom Tov itself, we learned in Pesachim actually about a special kind of chagiga associated with the Korban Pesach, where you bring it Erev Pesach actually, in order to be able to eat the Korban Pesach ala Soiva. We're not really going to be discussing that one in the Masechta. That one we discussed back in Pesachim. That one, though, you're not you if you do bring that one, then you and you don't always, then you don't you you're not yotze the mitzvah of chagiga with it, because you're bringing it before Yom Tov. You can be yotze the mitzvah of simcha with it if you're eating it on Yom Tov itself. Actually, the Gemara discusses over there how long you can eat that chagiga for. Anyway, so we'll see as we go through the Masechta. As far as the simcha, you don't necessarily have to bring a special korban for that purpose. You can have a korban that you're bringing for other purposes. For example, you have, let's say, a bechor or ma'aser behema, which you haven't yet brought, and you're bringing it now to your shalayim during the regalim, and you're eating it. So fine, you yotze your shalmei simcha with that. Anyway, all of that is one topic of the Masechta. The other that topic is going to be covered in most of the first perek and parts of the second perek. Then the other major topic is dinim of tumah v'tahara, because a person has a mitzvah chayav adam l'tahara atzmei b'regel. A person is obligated to make themselves to make sure that they're tahor on the Yom Tov. And in fact, so we're going to have in the end of the second perek and the whole third perek, about the last nine block or so of the Masechta, are going to be on Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, and particularly focusing on the areas in which those are different on the Shalosh Regalim than the rest of the year. In between, we're going to have the end of the first Perek and the beginning of the second Perek digress to talk about not directly related subjects. And at the beginning of the second Perek, we're going to have the famous Agadta about Maisa Merkava and Maisa Bereshis and the story of Acher and so on and so forth. So those are the major topics of the Masechta. So the Mishnah begins, HaKol Chayovin Bere'iyah. Everybody is obligated in Re'iyah, with the exceptions that we're going to say in the Mishnah. Now, what do we mean by Re'iyah? Rashi says that it means the mitzvah of appearing in the Azara, Lehisrois Ba'Azara Berego, to appear in the Azara on the Shalosh Regalim. Tosfos brings a number of proofs that the word Re'iyah over here can't just mean that, among other things, because later on in the Mishnah, we say how much does the Re'iyah have to be worth, and there we mean the korban of the Re'iyah. So that's what Tosfos says. So Tosfos brings a bunch of proofs and a bunch of questions on Rashi and says that re'iyah, we have kol chayovin b're'iyah, means that everybody is everybody except for the ones that we're going to list is chayiv in the korban that's associated with the re'iyah. So hakol chayovin b're'iyah, chutz mecheres shoyt of a cotton, with the exception of cheres shoyt of a cotton, and we're going to discuss for each one of these. We're going to discuss in the Gemara why not. Well, cheres shoyt of a cotton in general are potter from mitzvahs, but the first thing we're going to discuss is what. Here we're going to define, you know, all over Shas, we have cheres shoyt of a cotton. We have that triplet. But here in our Masechta is where we're going to be dealing with the actual definition of cheres and the actual definition of shoyta. And then all of them are potter from mitzvah. So therefore, of course, they're potter from aliyah the regal and from the korban for the regal. The tumtum of androgynous, as well as a tumtum and androgynous, which also we have them throughout Shas. A tumtum is somebody where there's a covering of covering of flesh over his genitals, so you can't tell if he's a zohar or a nekeva. And androgynous is somebody who has the genitals of both. So those in throughout Shas, we always talk about a tumtum is a suffix, whether it's a man or a woman. And an androgynous, there's different possibilities. Is he also a suffix between a man or a woman, or is he actually buried with b'nei atzma? Is he like almost like a third gender? Anyway, they're potter from re'iyah. An interesting point that a couple of Rishonim bring, by the way, is the word androgynous itself, at least on a pshat level, comes from Greek. Andro means man and gynos means woman, so it means a person who has the genitals of both men and women. But an interesting point Rishonim point out is the words androgynous are actually the same gematria as the word zohar or nekeva, representing that's what he is. Anyway, v'noshim and women, v'avodim she'enim v'shechrorim, and avodim knanim, that is, we're talking about, that are not freed. Because, in other words, an Eved Ivri, of course, is going to be Chayev because he's Chayev in all mitzvahs, just like a regular Yid. An Eved Knani that was freed, called an Eved Meshuchra, he would be considered like a Ger, and he would be Chayev in Aliyah the Regel, and in the Korbanos of the Regel, just like a Ger. So here we're talking about an Eved Knani who's not freed. And again, we're going to see for each one of them in the Gemara why they're potter. But the general rule is anyway that any mitzvah that women are potter from, avodim sheinim shukrorim are potter from, and since we're saying that women are potter, then so are they. Also, the Mishnah continues, hachigir, a person who is lame and can't walk, v'hasumar, or a person who is blind, v'hachola, a person who is sick, the idea being that they can't walk on foot to the azara, and we're going to see later on that they have to be able to walk on foot, so they can't. V'hazoken, an old man, same idea. Anybody else who can't walk with his feet from Yerushalayim all the way up to the Azara. You have to remember that the Harabayis is on the top of a mountain, and the city of Yerushalayim was on the slope below it. So it was quite a walk, it was quite an arduous walk to go from Yerushalayim all the way to the Azara. Also keep in mind that on the Harabayis, you're not allowed to wear shoes. Your leather shoes, that is. So therefore, you have if a person is not capable of walking all the way from the slope of down the mountain of the city of Yerushalayim all the way up to the Harabayis, so all the way up to the Azara, and to be able to do at least that last part without shoes, then we're saying they're potter. Because the Pasuk says Shalosh Regolim, the Pasuk says that the three Regolim means Yom Tovim, pilgrimage festivals is the literal translation. So it means, in other words, you have to be able to walk on your feet, on your raglayim, to make that pilgrimage to the Beis HaMikdash, and if you can't, then you're potter. So the Mishnah says, Ezehu cotton. What is the definition of a cotton for this purpose? Now, of course, a cotton until bar mitzvah is potter from mitzvahs anyway, on a daraisa level. So on a daraisa level, okay, he's not chayiv until he's 13. But we know that there is a chiyuv of chinuch derabanan. That the Rashi says an interesting expression over here, that al oviv al imoy lechanche b'mitzvahs, the Chacham imposed an obligation on his father and on his mother to be chayev, to train him to be mechanechim in mitzvahs. An interesting point about that, a number of achronim deal with the question, are women, in fact, is a mother, in fact, chayev in the chinuch of her children? We know, obviously, as a practical matter, they're heavily involved in it. But do they, when the Chachamim set up the concept of chinuch for children, did they actually include that women have an equal chiyuv on that with men, or maybe not? Especially over here, when you consider that the women themselves are potter from aliyah l'regel. So there's a good deal of discussion, pro and con, about that. What exactly is the chiyuv of a woman? One interesting chap that they say that's brought in this case is, given that we're talking about a fairly young child, as we're going to say soon, so he's not going to want to be away for the whole Yom Tov, or for a significant part of Yom Tov, from his mother. So practically speaking, his mother is going to have to come to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel in order to enable her son to be able to, in order to be able to go and to go on Aliyah L'Regel. Granted, she doesn't have to come to the Azara, but she at least is going to have to be there in Yerushalayim and maybe even walk with them a good part of the way in order that the kid's going to be willing to go. So therefore, maybe particularly over here, that's why Rashi mentions specifically the mother. Anyway, so what is the age when a katan is, where, what is the age when a katan is, when we're chayev in chinuch for a katan to see to it that he comes on a lila regal? Kol she'en yachol lirkuv oksefiv shel aviv, if he's so young that he can't ride on his father's shoulders, v'lalos mi'ushalayim l'harabayis, and go up in that way from Yerushalayim to the harabayis, divrei bishamai, that's what bishamai says. So we're talking, you know, a kid can ride on his shoulders all the way from Yerushalayim to the Harabayis. So we're talking, you know, what a kid could be a year or two old or something, and Beis Shammai would already be requiring him. Or Beis Hillel, I mean, Beis Hillel says no, an older age there. Kol she'eni yochel lecha is v'yadu shel aviv, when he can't hold on to his father's hand, the lalis, and walk on his own 2 feet, Yerushalayim l'Harabayis. Shenema, because after all, the pasuk says sholosh regalim. Three regalim, three times you have to come up to the Beis Mikdash on your feet. So according to Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel is telling them that's not on his feet because he's riding on his father's shoulders. So it has to be that the kid himself is old enough to walk on his own 2 feet. Fine, his father is holding his hand, but he's old enough to do that. So then he'd be then midrabanan he'd be chayiv and aliyah l'regel. Tosfos points out now. We're saying that we're talking over here, according to Tosfos, that the chiyuv here in the Mishnah, we're not just talking about the actual aliyah l'regel, we're talking about the bringing of the korban for that. Well then, if a katan is not chayav on a daraisa level to do aliyah l'regel, then his korbanos are also only going to be derabanan. Well, how does that work then? So you would have to have, Tosfos says, he would have to bring his korbanos as a nedava. Now, in that case, then you get into a different machlokas v'shama v'shillel, whether you're allowed to bring such korbanos on Yom Tov, a korban nedava, a korban that you're required to, as we're going to talk about later in the Masechta. So a shlomim you would definitely be able to bring on Yom Tov, even if it's nedava, because you can eat the meat of it, and you can shecht animals on Yom Tov, as we learned back in Masechta Beitza. But the oilo, you have a machlokas with Shammai with Hillel, whether you're allowed to. We're going to talk about that in the second perek of our Masechta. So the child would have to bring his korbanos as nedava, and he may have to bring them during Chol HaMoed rather than on Yom Tov itself. Then also Tosfos discusses the point Tosfos says then that he wouldn't do smicha on the korban, because again a child doesn't do smicha, but still maybe he would be bringing the korbanos, or his father would be bringing them on his behalf as a korban nedava. According to Rashi, anyway, the whole question doesn't begin, because again Rashi is saying that Hakol Chayav Mir'iya of our Mishnah is primarily talking about the chiyuv to appear in the Azara. Well, a child can do that as well as an adult. Okay. The Mishnah continues, Beis Shammai Omrim, Hori'iya Shtei Kesef V'Chagiga Mar Kesef. Now, when we come to the Korbanos, now we know, we say every day in davening, Eilud Vodim She'en Lam Shir, etc., V'Hara Oyin, that there are many mitzvahs where there's no minimum shir for them, Daraisa, and one of them is the Oilas Re'iya. However, that Mishnah is talking about a Daraisa level. There's a number of things in that Mishnah and Braisa that it says that Eilud Vodim She'en Lam Shir, and they actually do have a shir Drabonon. For example, we say over there, Peya v'Abikurim, and Midaraisa, it's true that there's no minimum shear for them, but Dirabanan, Peya, and Bikurim, both are supposed to be 1/60th, at least 1/60th of the crop. And the same thing with several other things that it says over there. So by the same token over here, Daraisa, there's no shear for Ro'oyin, for the Oilas Re'iya. You can bring as cheap an animal as you want. But the Chachamim made a minimum amount, which is what we're going to discuss now in the Mishnah. There is actually an opinion about that, and it seems maybe the Yerushalmi holds that way, that in fact it's halacha l'moshe v'sinai, but most of the Rishonim say at least that the Bavli is taking it as a given, that it's d'rabbanan, and that it's d'rabbanan, not d'raisa v'minoshi. Okay, so b'shama emim hori iya shtei kesef, b'shama says the oilas re'iya has to be worth at least 2 silver coins, and the silver coins we mean are ma'os, where a ma is 1/6 of a dinar. It comes out as 1/6 of a dinar, 1/24 of a seller, because there are 4 dinarim to the seller. In terms of how much that would be in terms of like a person's pay or something. So there are sources in Shas that seem to say that the average person might make about earn about a dinar a day. So therefore, if you're assuming, let's say that a person works, let's say an 8-hour day, then a dinner is 1/6 of that. So you're talking approximately an hour and a half's worth of work is the minimum. So shtei kesef would be double that. So Beshama is saying, so therefore it would be approximately the equivalent of 3 or 4 hours work. Beshama is saying that's the minimum amount that your oilas ru'iyah has to be worth. V'chagiga, more kesef, and then the chagiga can be half of that. The shamei chagiga. Beis Shammai is taking the view, since the oilas re'iyah is completely burnt on the mizbeach, whereas the Shammai chagiga are mostly eaten by the kohenim and by the owners. Therefore, Beis Shammai says the oilas re'iyah has to be worth more. At least 2 ma as compared to at least 1 ma for the shlomim. Or Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says the other way around. Re'iyah ma kesef, ba'chagiga shtei kesef. The oilas re'iyah, it's enough that it's only 1 ma. The chagiga, since people have to eat the meat of it, then therefore you need it to be worth at least twice as much, at least 2 ma. There's various places, in particular there's a sicha in Chelek Tzayin for Parshas Truma, where the Rebbe discusses that many times in Shas we have a machlokes b'shamay b'shilol comes down to the point of, do we look at the generality of something or do we look at the specifics of it? We find in many places in Shas where we can relate a machlok as Beis Shammai Beis Hillel to that point. So here is another example. Beis Shammai is looking at the generality. In general, you look at it not superficially, but you look at it in an overall picture. An oila, of course, is more important than a shlomim because an oila is completely burnt on the mizbeach and it's kodshei kodshim, whereas a shlomim is not. On the other hand, Beis Hillel looks at the specifics. The oila is completely eaten, consumed by the fire on the mizbeach. Well, the shlomim is also completely consumed. The difference is that it's consumed not only on the mizbeach, but also by the kohenim and also by the owners. So therefore, they say, looking at the specifics, then you find the chagiga has to be, the shamei chagiga have to be worth more because of that. So the Gemara starts off, Hakol la'asu yamai, when we say in the beginning of the Mishnah, Hakol, that everybody is chayiv in Re'iyah, with the exception of the 11 or 12 people that we mentioned. 11 people. So Hakol la'asu yamai, what does that word Hakol come to include? So la'asu yamai, she'chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin. It comes to include a person who is half Eved Knani, that is, and half free. One way you could have that, for example, is you had the Eved to begin with was owned jointly by 2 or more people, and one of them freed him, and the other one did not. Good morning. Another way would be, for example, now usually we say mashakana eved kana rabbi, whatever a slave owns belongs to his master, but you have certain cases, it talks about it in Gittin, and Gittin is the main place in Shas, and in the middle of Masechet Gittin, where it has the dinim about avodim, but in other places also, where you have a person can give something to an eved, al-manas, that his owner doesn't have any ownership of that particular thing. So then a person in that way, an eved, can have enough money, let's say, to buy half of his freedom from his master. So whatever the case, so you have somebody who is half free and half slave, we're saying the word hakol comes to include that he would be chayev in re'iyah. He would have to appear in the Bais Mikdash and bring the relevant korbanos. So the Gemara says, Uloravina. Now, what about appointed Avina? He says that, in fact, that a person is potter from re'iyah. We're going to have the discussion about it later in the Gemara on Daf Dalet. So, and he can't argue with a Mishnah. So, according to him, Hakol Lasu Yamai. So, what does the word Hakol come to include according to him? The answer is Lasu Yichigu B'yem Nishin V'nispashet B'yem Sheni. It would come to include somebody who was lame on the first day and then was healed. Literally, Nispashet means like he was stretched out. So, in other words, the picture is, let's say he couldn't walk because his foot was shrunken or curled up or something, and he wasn't able to move it. And now on the second day or any of the other days of Chol HaMoed, then all of a sudden, so now he's healed and he's able to walk. So therefore, we'd say, even though on the first day he was potter from Re'iyah, because as we said in the Mishnah, he couldn't walk, but now that he could, he'd be chayiv in Re'iyah. So the word hakol would be coming to include him. However, the Gemara says, Hanicha l'manda Omar, kulin tashlumin zelazeh. Now, there's two ways of looking at it. We're going to learn later on in the Masech that we've learned sporadically here and there throughout Seder Moed, that we know that you have tashlumin, the Oilas Re'iyah and the Shamech Chagiga. It's not just you have the one day of Yom Tov when it comes to Shavuos, or the first day of Yom Tov when it comes to Pesach and Sukkos, that you can bring them, and then that's that. If you don't bring them that first day, you can bring them throughout Chol HaMoed, and when it comes to Sukkos, even on Shmini Atzeres. When it comes to Shavuos, we have Yemei Tashlumin after Shavuos, which is why we don't say Tachnun during the days after Shavuos, up to it, including Yud Beis Sivan, because those were the Yemei Tashlumin. Now, there's two ways of looking at that. One way is we can say you have a chiyuv on the first day. Let's take, for example, Pesach. You have one way of looking at it is you have a chiyuv on the first day exclusively. But if you weren't able to bring it on the first day, then the Torah is allowing you, fine, you can bring it on the second, third, fourth, etc., all the way until the seventh day. So that would be called kulam tashlumin l'durishin. That's called that each of the days is tashlumin for the first day. The other way of looking at it is you have a chiyuv on the first day, and you also have a chiyuv on the second day, and you also have a chiyuv on the third day, and so forth. All it is you don't have a separate chiyuv, as in you have to bring a separate korban each day. Once you bring your oilas re'iyah and your shamei chagiga on one of the days of Yom Tov or one of the days of tashlumin, then that's it, you were yotze. But we would say that we could say that each day is an independent chiyuv. So therefore, so the second day is tashlumin for the first, and the third is tashlumin for the second, and so on and so forth. So now, the Gemara says, if we look at it that second way, if we say kolim tashlumin zela, hanichal manda omar, kolim tashlumin zela zeh. So that works out according to the opinion, which we're going to discuss later in the perek, that each of the days is tashlumin for the previous one. So then we can say, in other words, so on the first day he was potter from Aliyah L'Regel and from the Korbanos because he was lame. However, on the second day, a new chiyuv came in. He's now chayev because now he's healed. So therefore, that second day he has to bring the Korban. If he doesn't bring it the second day, then he can make up for the second day on the third day. And the third day has its own independent chiyuv and so forth. So then that works out. We can say that on any of the other days, he'd be chayev. But if we take the first way of looking at it, that all of them are tashlumin for the first day, that the essential chiyuv is only on the first day and all the other days are make up for it, well then on the first day he was potter, because on the first day he was potter because he couldn't walk. So then, according to that, he would be potter from Aliyah L'Regel and from the Korbanos throughout that whole Yom Tov, because on the first day he was potter. So then if we say that hakol la'asu yamai, then what is the hakol of our Mishnah coming to include? So far, again, we have it could include a chetzi eved b'chetzi ben chorin, but that doesn't work according to Ravina. It could include the schigur b'yem rishin v'nespashet b'yem sheni, where he was healed on the second day or any of the later days, but we're saying not everybody agrees to that. There's going to be a machlokas later on in the Mishnah, later on in the perek. We're going to have Machlokas Reb Yechanan and Reb Oshia, whether it's Tashlumin L'Rishin or Tashlumin Zelazeh. So if you hold like Ravina, that a Chetzi Eved, a Chetzi Ben Chorin is Potter, and you hold like Reb Yechanan over there, that a Chigur B'Yem Rishin and a Spashit B'Yem Sheni is also Potter, well then, what is the Hakol coming to include? And the answer is, La'asuya Suma Ba'achas Me'enam. In that case, by the way, Tosfos points out the whole concept of Tashlumin is really mentioned only in the Torah gives us a pasuk about it only regarding the Chagiga. But once we say that it applies to the Chagiga, then we say that it also applies to the Oilas Re'iyah. Before, by the way, Tosfos had mentioned that you have the case where Katan is bringing his korbanos, and he said he can't bring, if he has to bring them nedava, then he can't bring them on the first day of Yom Tov, because according to the opinion that you can't bring an olas nedava, according to the opinion that you can't bring nedavas on Yom Tov, an ola definitely not, and a shlomim maybe, maybe not. So there, Tosfos says he's not actually possible per se on the first day. It's just there's a rule that you can't bring Olas Nedava on the first day Yom Tov, on Yom Tov itself. So therefore, we don't say that's not the kind of case where he was potter on the first day. He was in fact chayev. He just couldn't because of other circumstances. Here we're talking about a person who's actually potter on the first day because he was lame. Anyway, so the Gemara says so lastuya summa ba'achas me'enav. So the word hakol of our Mishnah then, according to that, would be saying to include somebody who's blind in one eye, that even though we said in the Mishnah a blind person is potter, but here where he's blind only in one eye, then he would be chayav. And therefore, the Gemara says, u'delaiki haitana, which means, therefore, that our Mishnah would not be like the following Tana. Now, when we had before Ravina's and Rav Yechanan's opinions, they're Amoraim, they can't argue with the Mishnah, so we had to say, how would they understand our Mishnah? Now, if we're saying that there's a Tana who disagrees, fine, a Tana is allowed to disagree with the Mishnah. So, Tanya, Yechanan ben Dehavoy, Mishum Rav Yehuda. Yechanan ben Dehavoy says, in the name of Rav Yehuda, on the side over here, maybe Rav Yehuda ben Tema. Anyway, Summa Ba'achas Me'ena Potter Min Ariyah. He says that a person who is blind in one eye is Potter from Ariyah. Shenemar, because the pasuk says yireh yeroyah, or the Tosfos discusses it can be the other way around, yeroyah yireh, whatever. The pasuk says shalosh pamim bashana yeroyah kol zchurcha, three times a year all of your males should be seen in the Beis Hamikdash. And the way it's written in the Torah, since the Torah is written without nekudas, the same word yeroyah can also be read yireh, which means he will see. So therefore, so we learn that there's a comparison between he will see and he will be seen. So Rashi says that we're first focusing on how it's written without Nekudas and how we could punctuate it with Nekudas with the more obvious way. When we see the letter is Yud, Resh, Aleph, Hey, the more obvious way to put Nekudas on it would be Yireh, he will see. So therefore, according to Rashi, the Gemara is darshaning that first, and then the actual way it's pronounced, which is Yeroeh, he will be seen. So therefore, when it says all of your males shall see the face of Hashem, means that the person himself sees the Shechina. When it says Yeroeh kol zechurcha, on the other hand, we don't read the pasuk Yireh, we read Yeroeh, he will be seen. So therefore, that means that Hashem is coming kavyochol to see you. So therefore, we have a comparison between you seeing the Shechina in the Beis Mikdash and Hashem coming to see you. Tosfos actually discusses that for one thing, where Rashi is talking about the Shechina coming to see you. What do you mean coming to see you? The Shechina is always there. Shechina b'chol makom, really. In fact, the Shechina is in every place. For that, and also Tosfos says, I mean, at least we should be darshaning the way it's actually read first. The fact is, it is read Yeroeh. So Tosfos says rather the other way around. Yeroeh first. Yeroeh means that. So in other words, according to Rashi, the comparison is just, it has to be the way that you are coming to see Hashem, to see the Shechina, has to be similar to the way that Hashem sees you. And since Hashem sees you with both of his eyes, Kaviyachol, then therefore you have to be able to see Hashem with your both eyes, says, and this is what, so therefore, Yochanan ben Davoy, he says, based on that, a person who's blind in one eye is potter. According to Tosfos, it's rather the other way around, that the word Yeroeh is first. Just like when the person comes to be seen in the Azara, so he is being seen by the two eyes of Hashem, Kaviyachol, the same way the person has to be coming to see to see Hashem with his two eyes. Marsha discusses this, and Maram discusses this. There's other places in Shas where this Jerusha is also brought. There's also, do we look at it, that we're compared, that both of them maybe were talking about the person. The person comes to see the Shechina, and the person comes to be seen. Or maybe actually both of them are talking about Hashem, that the person is coming, and Hashem sees him, and Hashem's Shechina is seen by the person. There's different ways exactly of learning the Drasha. But anyway, the point is, so Kederach Shebolli, right? So the Gemara continues, Kederach Shebolli, right? In the same way that the person comes to see, Kach Bolli, right? The same way he comes to be seen in the Azara. Therefore, according to Rashi, the bar is referring actually to the Shechina. Just as the Shechina comes to see you, so the Shechina comes to be seen. According to Tosfos, just as you, the person, come to see, so you come to be seen. And the point is, Yochanan ben Davoy says, Ma liris b'shtei einov, just like when Hashem looks at you, it's with both his eyes, Einei Hashem al tzedikim, like it says in the Pasuk, the same way, when you see the Shechina and you're appearing in front of the Shechina, also has to be with both your eyes. So therefore, so therefore, Yochanan ben Davoy, he says a person who has only one eye is potter from Re'iyah. An interesting Chassidish vort on that is, it's brought from the Noyam Alimelech, from the Kozhnitzer and others, is that when we talk about the two, what do you mean that you look on the Shechina with two eyes? A person, when he thinks of his relationship with Hashem, has to think of two different things: the greatness of Hashem on the one hand, and his own lowliness on the other hand. And therefore, if a person is looking on a lakus with only the one eye, he realizes how great Hashem is, but he doesn't have the sense of bittul, he doesn't have the sense of how lowly he is, then that's not a good thing. And then we're saying he can't appear in the Azorah, he can't appear before the Shechina with that kind of mentality, because then he's more likely to think Hashem is so great, and I must be very great for having a relationship with Hashem. So you need the second eye as well. There is actually in Likutei Torah and Parashas Re'eh, the Alter Rebbe discusses this point about seeing Hashem with the two eyes and what all that means and what it means for that matter. As far as Hashem seeing us, there are places where it talks about it with two eyes, Einei Hashem al Tzadikim. On the other hand, there's places where it talks about Hashem seeing us kavyachol with one eye, Hine Ein Hashem al Yireyav. The Medrash actually says on that there's a difference between whether the Jewish people are oisin retzonish or mokim, where then Hashem looks on us with one eye, versus eino, or then Hashem looks at us with both eyes, versus einoisin retzonish or mokim, where then only one eye. And the Alter Rebbe in a Maimer over there in Likutei Torah develops the idea that the one eye represents either Yira Yila or Yira Tata, and the two eyes represent both of them, and therefore you have the Yira Hashem are able to do only one at a time, whereas the Tzadikim are granted both of those at the same time, and therefore we can talk about them seeing Hashem and Hashem seeing them with both eyes. Anyway, so that's one answer of what the word Hakol is doing in our Mishnah. Is it's telling us that even a person who's blind in one eye is still chayiv in ri'ya. The Iboyesema, is chayiv in ri'ya. So that would be Yochanan ben Davoy would say he's potter, because he's not seeing Hashem and being seen by Hashem in the same way. But the Chachamim would disagree and say that the person is chayiv, and our Mishnah Hakol would be according to that. So that's one answer. The Gemara continues, the Iboyesema, another way you could say it, la'olam kada'amri me'ikra, we could actually answer like we did to begin with, that the Hakol is including a chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin, and udka kashal ahad Ravina. So you're wondering, what is Ravina? What about according to Ravina? Wouldn't we say, according to him, that a chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin is potter? So the answer is, loikasha, kan commissioner rishona, kan commissioner achrona. The answer is that we have two different things. Now, what it is, Ravina is basing himself on. Where does Ravina get the idea that avodim, that a chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin is potter? Because Ravina says later on in the Gemara, on Daf Dalet, that since the Mishnah says avodim she'en mishnah chorin, so it means not only a slave who's completely unfreed, but even a slave who's partially unfreed. So now we'd be saying that the two parts of the Mishnah are actually reflecting two different stages in the halacha. Can commissioner Rishona, can commissioner Achrona. One part would be talking about according to the original din, and the other would be talking about according to the din, according to the Mishnah, and the din as it was finally established. What do we mean? D'tnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Adius, Mi shechetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin, a person who is in this situation that we said, half slave, half free. So Basilo says, what you do is you split up his time. Half the time he works for his master, and half the time he works for himself. So every other day he's working for his master, and whatever he makes and produces then belongs to his master. And every other day in between, he's working for himself and earning money for himself. Divrei Basilo. But Beit Shammai says to them, Tikantem es Rabbi. Okay, by doing that, you fixed up his Rebbe, that you've made things good for his master, that now his master is getting as much work out of him as he can, because he owns half the Eved. So okay, he has the Eved services half the time. So far, so good. But you've only accomplished something for the master. But you have not accomplished anything. You have not accomplished anything for the slave, because what's he going to do as far as getting married? Says Bishama. He can't marry a shivcha knanis because half of him is free. A freed slave, an Eved Meshuchra, we said before, was like a ger, or a born yid for that matter, any yid, and any Jewish man is not allowed to marry a shivcha. The pasuk says, that there shouldn't be a kadesha or a kaddish among the Jewish people. And among other things, that's an iser for a Jewish man to marry a shivcha, or to have relations with a shivcha, or for a Jewish woman to have relations with an Eved. So this guy is half Eved, half free, so he can't marry a shivcha because of the side of him that's ben chodin, and he'd be over on that issue of loy yakodesh. Bas chodin any yachol, he can't marry a free Jewish woman either, because half of him is an Eved, and therefore half of her is going to be married to an Eved, and it's going to be over on loy yakodesh. So he can't get married, says Beis Shammai. So that's a problem. Live till? So Beis Shammai is saying, so what are you expecting to do? Should this Eved just remain bottle and not get married and not have children at all? The whole world was created only for period verivya. And here now the Gemara does not bring the pasuk pruvu, and we'll talk about it soon. Tosfos is going to discuss why not, but instead the Gemara brings a pasuk from Yeshaya. Loi tohu bra. The world, Hashem did not create the world for nothingness. Lo sheves yitzara. Hashem created the world in order that it should be inhabited and dwelled in. So you want that every person should be, you want as much as possible that people should be capable of contributing to that. And now you have this guy who's half Eved, half not, and he can't do that. Rather, Bishamai says, Mipnei Tikuna Olam, in order for the proper functioning of the world. The Gemara mentions in the Mishnah and the Gemara in Gittin tell of a number of takonas that the Chachamim made, Mipnei Tikuna Olam. This is one of them. So because of that, in order that the world should function properly, Kofinis Rabbi, we force his master, V'oisois a Ben Chodin, and he makes him a Ben Chodin, and then he's allowed to marry, then he'll be allowed to marry almost any Jewish woman he wants. Maybe Taka anyone. He'd even be allowed to marry a Bas Koyin. A Koyin is not allowed to marry a Giyotis, but a Bas Koyin is allowed to marry a Ger. Anyway, so he'd be able. So then he'll be able to marry any free Jewish woman that he wants. Because of Leishtar, a Chatzidamav, and the slave writes out an IOU to his master that I owe you the half of my value that hasn't been paid off yet. Because again, we were talking about where one of his master's freedom and the other one didn't, or where he bought half his freedom. So okay, he writes out, we don't want to make the master lose out his financial investment over here. So the Eved will write him an IOU that he owes him half the value. But right, we're not going to wait until the money is raised for that. Rather, we're going to force the master to free him right away. And v'chozru b'shilah l'horis k'divi b'shamai. Beis Hillel ended up agreeing with Beis Shammai that that's how we should do things. So now, how does that relate to our Mishnah? Most of the Rishonim learn, therefore, that the Mishnah then is going in chronological order. When it says Akol Chayovin Bereiyah, is talking about the according to Rashi, the Mishnah is going in, and many other Rishonim, the Mishnah is going the opposite of chronological order. First, it's telling us the Mishnah Achrona, the final decision. Then it's telling us the Mishnah Rishona. So what did we say? The Mishnah starts off by saying Hakol Chayovin Bereiya, and we're saying that that includes Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin. Then we said the Mishnah continues that Avodim She'ein Meshachrorim are Potter, and Ravina says that means a Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin is Potter. So what happened was then, so first when the Mishnah says Akol Chayovin Bereiya is talking about after Beis Hillel conceded to Beis Shammai. So now what happens is this guy who's Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin is not going to remain that way for very long, because as soon as possible we're going to force the master to free him, and he's going to become a complete yid. So the Mishnah is telling us Akol Chayovin Bereiya, meaning already at that point he's going to be chayev. Because even though he hasn't been completely freed yet, he's going to be very soon. As opposed to then when the Mishnah continues, Avodim Shein Meshachrarim, and Ravina understands that to mean that such a person is Potter, that would be according to the Mishnah Rishona. So back when he was, back when we said that according to Bais Hillel, he could remain Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin indefinitely, so then we would say, so then we would say that was according to Bais Hillel's original opinion, since the guy can remain like that indefinitely as a Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin, then therefore he's Potter from Re'iyah because part of him is an Eved. But then eventually, when Bais Hillel conceded to Bais Shammai that it's not going to remain that way for very long, then we're Mechayim. That's according to Rashi and the Ravid and many other Rishonim. The Rambam actually learns it the other way around. The Rambam learns that the Mishnah is in chronological order, and the original din that we said that he's chayev was according to Mishnah Rishona, and the later din that the Mishnah says that that Rina derives from it that he's potter is according to the Mishnah Achrona. There's a good deal of discussion why the Rambam would say it that way, where does he get that from? But that's the Nosa Kalim on the Rambam discuss it at some length where the Rambam gets it, and in fact that's why the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam and learns like that. So it comes out, according to the Rambam, the Maskana, so according to most of the Rishonim then, the Maskana is that a Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin is Chayev in Aliyah L'Regel, because even if he hasn't been freed yet, he's going to be very soon, whereas according to the Rambam, he would in fact be Potter. Tosfos, by the way, most of the Tosfos in on this Amud over here, go into details about this Eved. This Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin is a topic that's revisited in several places in Shas, and here, as well as in many of those places, Tosfos discusses the ins and outs, what the problem is. First of all, Tosfos says an interesting point, that Rabbeinu Meshul, when we said, according to Bais Shammai, we said, Tikantem Es Rabbi Ves Atmo Le Tikantem, we said, you fix things up for his master, but not for him. Because his master is getting as much as he can out of him, whereas he himself can't get married, Tosfos brings that Rabbeinu Meshulam had a gear the other way around, actually. Tikantem es atzmoi ves rabbi lo tikantem, meaning for him at least, you've improved things a little bit, because he at least can work for himself. But his master is not improved at all, because what's one of the side benefits of owning an Eved Knani is that he can father more children who will become new Avadim. Even by an Eved Ivri, you have the din in the pasuk that the master can give him a shivcha knanis, and then they can have more children who will be slaves. So with an Eved Knani, you have the same kind of thing. But here, this Eved Knani, we're saying can't marry a shivcha and can't marry a bas Yisrael. Therefore, the master is losing out on that. So therefore, Rabbeinu Meshulam says that Bais Shammai is saying that for him, at least, you have at least it's something for the good. But for the master, he's losing out on that part entirely. He doesn't have any of that benefit of this Eved fathering children at all. Anyway, then the next couple of Tosfos in discuss in some detail, various aspects of this. Why don't we say that, for example, why don't we say that he can sell the free half of him as an Eved Ivri, and then he'll be able to marry a Shivcha? And the answer is, Tosfos says, because a Ger is not allowed, because a Ger can't sell himself as an Eved Ivri. And for that and for other reasons, Tosfos goes on to say. Then Tosfos wonders, why can't he marry another woman, a woman who herself is also Chetzi Shivcha V'Chetzi Bas Chorin? And the end, Tosfos compares it to a case where you have, for example, a mule. Mules are themselves hybrids. They have one parent as a horse and one as a donkey. You have two different kinds, one where the father was a horse and one where the mother was a horse. And the halacha is you're allowed to breed together two mules whose parents were both horses, let's say. Or two mules whose parent, or two mules whose fathers were both horses, or two mules whose fathers whose fathers were both donkeys. So why don't we say the same thing over here, that this Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin can marry a woman who's a Chetzi Shivcha V'Chetzi Bas Chorin? So Tosfos discusses that it won't work over here because there the only problem is Kilayim, and fine, they're considered one min. Here the problem is you can't split the person in half, so it comes out that the half of him that's an Eved is having relations with the half of the woman who's a Bas Yisrael, and vice versa, and you can't do that. Then Tosfos also discusses, so why don't we say you can marry a Mamzeres, both an Eved, both an Eved and an Eved is allowed to marry a Mamzeres. Tosfos says, okay, we don't want to make a thing that's going to create more Mamzerim in the world. After all, given that the child of a Mamzer is also a Mamzer, so we don't want to increase the number of Mamzerim in the world. And also, again, you have the same problem that half of him is an Eved, and therefore she's an Hs ish to the other half, which is a free man. Now, one more point that Tosfos discusses is why is the Gemara bringing over here the pasuk loy toyu bra l'shavas yitzara? Why not the pasuk pruvu? So there's a good deal of discussion here in Tosfos and in other places among Rishonim and Achronim about are goyim chayev in the mitzvah of pruvu at all. On the face of it, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that pruvu is an obligation only on Jews. The Gemara discusses over there that when you have a mitzvah that was said before Matan Torah, which pruvu is, and then repeated after Matan Torah, then it's obligatory on both men and on both Jews and goyim. And here you have it wasn't repeated after Matan Torah, so therefore it's maybe only on Jews. So maybe the Gemara is bringing over here loy toyu bra l'shavas yitzara, which applies to everybody in the world goyim as well. On the other hand, Rabbi Choy Goyin and Shiltus says that Goyim are Chayiv and Pruvu. So for that, and for between that and between other things, Tosfos says another reason why maybe the Gemara brings the Pasuk Lo Toru Bra is not because it couldn't have brought the Pasuk Pruvu, but because Lo Toru Bra expresses the idea more forcefully. That how important it is for the functioning of the world, that's the whole purpose that Hashem created the world for, and therefore we want to mention that pasuk in order to stress how important it is that we do something about it. So in the end, of course, since Beis Hillel conceded to Beis Shammai, the halacha is like Beis Shammai, that this chetzi eved v'chetzi ben churin is going to be freed as soon as possible, even though, by the way, usually freeing an eved knani is an iser daraisa, but here you're doing it because the chacham told you to, so therefore it's a mitzvah, so you're allowed to do it. But there still is, the Gemara explains over there in Gittin, you still have, the halacha is still like this Hillel, for example, with a woman. The whole concept of loy toyu bra l'shevis yitzara is not an obligation on women. So if you have a woman who's chetz yishiv from chetz yibaschurin, then according to this Hillel, she could stay that way indefinitely. Unless the Gemara discusses over there, if you have problems of pritzos, if you have because she can't marry, then therefore she ends up being mizana with people, then we force her master to free her also. But otherwise, she could stay that way indefinitely. But of course, that's not negaya to our sugya, because women anyway are part of Maliya Lerek. The Gemara goes on. Chutz mechera shoyte b'katan chola. We said that everybody is chayiv in Aliyah Lerego, except for the 11 that we mentioned in the Mishnah, and the first three are cheresh shoyte b'katan. So now let's define what a cheresh is. So the Gemara says, katoni cheresh dumya de shoyte b'katan. So we're mentioning over here the cheresh in the same breath as the shoyte and the katan. Therefore, that means ma shoyte v'katan delav b'nei deya. So a shoyte and a katan, by definition, do not have deya. A shoyte, we're going to talk about later on daf dalad, what the definition of a shoyte is. A katan, his brain is not fully developed enough yet, and his neshama is not fully enough developed yet to have deya. An interesting point, actually, that Rebbe Rashab points out in Kuntras Atfila, deya over here doesn't mean smarts. You can have a very smart kid. Deya, he says, really means the ability to be able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and empathize with them. A child doesn't really have that ability yet. When we say that a child below bar bas mitzvah is not a ben das, or a bas das, really that's what we mean, says the Rebbe Rashab, they don't have the ability yet to empathize with somebody else. Anyway, so a shoita and a cotton don't have that. Af cheresh delav bar deyahu. Therefore, the cheresh that we're talking about over here also has to be somebody who does not have deya. And v'kamash malon k'ditnan. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us, like what we learn in a Mishnah elsewhere, cheresh shedibur chacham v'chamokim, throughout Shas in general, when we talk about a cheresh, means she'ena shemeya ve'ena medaber, means that he can't speak, and he can't hear, and he can't speak. So we're talking about, in other words, a person who was born deaf or became deaf very young before he had a chance to learn how to speak. You know, they didn't have sign language and other such things in those days. So therefore, a person was deaf from birth or from shortly after birth, they would never learn to speak. So now the point is, the Gemara is saying, since they can't hear and they can't speak, then therefore we consider their intelligence is not fully developed. Because how do you learn things? You learn from hearing things from other people and by speaking to other people, and he can't communicating with other people, and he can't do that, therefore he's considered to have subnormal intelligence. There is a good deal of discussion among the poskim in the last couple of hundred years. What about sometimes you find such a person who, sometimes you find such a person who does have the ability to communicate somehow or other. There is an interesting tshuva on this from the Tzemach Tzedek Akadmon, which is not the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe of Lubavitch, but rather an earlier sefer called Tzemach Tzedek by Rabbi Menachem Mendel Krochmal, one of the important early Achronim. He was a chaver of the Taz. and an important rav. Anyway, so he wrote a famous set of Shailos HaTshuvos called Samach Tzedek, and he discusses over there a case. There was a tailor where this guy was like this, deaf and mute, but he was very, he seemed to be very intelligent. He knew how to run his business very well. He was able to use sign language of some sort to communicate with his customers and them with him. So the question was brought to the Tzemach Tzedek HaKadmon, do we say that such a person is lacking in Das? And he says, yeah, the fact is, the Gemara is not making such distinctions over here. Therefore, we would still have to say, very nice, he seems to be a very intelligent guy and all, but he's lacking Das, and therefore he'd be Potter Mikol HaMitzvos. The question was revisited in the last 200 years or so, once they started developing systematic ways of teaching deaf people to be able to communicate. For example, they develop proper sign languages and other such things. Nowadays, they even have implants that they can put in that allow the person to be able to hear and eventually to be able to be taught to speak. So the poskim in the last 200 years or so have discussed here and there these questions of, is such a person still considered like the cheresh of the Gemara over here and therefore potter from mitzvahs, or maybe now that they can communicate in sign language, or maybe now that they have these implants and they're able to be taught to speak, maybe not. So there's discussion back and forth about it among the Achronim. Anyway, we're saying the definition of a cheresh here and in most places in Shas is a person who can't hear and can't speak. Because that's the point. In other words, since we're saying him together with the cheresh and the shoita, together with the shoita and the cotton, it can't just be somebody who does not know how to hear, who can't hear but is able to speak, meaning that became deaf later in life, because there's no reason we would consider that he's lacking in das. And vice versa, it can't mean somebody who's mute, whose vocal cords don't work but can hear, because again, there's no reason to think that he's lacking in das. So it has to mean somebody who's both. So the Gemara says, so therefore the implication is that if he can speak but he can't hear, for example, he became deaf later in life, or shemeya ve'en medaber, or vice versa, he can hear but he can't speak because his vocal cords don't function, chayev, then he would be chayev in aliyah l'rebbe. Which therefore, the Gemara says, tanena lahada tanan abanan. In that case, then we've learned in our Mishnah in brief what it says in more detail in a braisa, and therefore that would mean the halacha is like this braisa. Hamadaba ve'en shemeya. If a person is able to speak, but he can't hear, zehu cheresh. That's one definition of a cheresh, not the usual cheresh throughout Shas, but that's one kind of cheresh. Shemeya ve'en medaber zehu ilim. When a person can hear, but he can't speak, then that's what's called in Lashon Kodesh an ilim. And the Braisa continues, zeh v'zeh harein tepitchen l'chol divrehem, both a cheresh of that kind that we just described and an ilim are both considered like normal people for all purposes. They are chayev in all mitzvahs, including aliyah l'regel. Because they still have normal intelligence, they still have normal deah. Only if they're lacking in both, then we say that not. Now there are some rare cases where one or the other of those is potter from certain mitzvahs. For example, we discussed in Rosh Hashanah and in Megillah that a cheresh, a person who can't hear, is potter from shofar, and he can't be motzi other people because he himself can't hear the shofar blasts. And the same thing with the Megillah. But for most other mitzvahs, such a person would be fully chayev in mitzvahs. There is actually, the Gemara discusses in Gittin and some other places, that if you have a person who used to be able to speak and now, for example, had a stroke and he can't speak anymore, then we have to examine him. We have to make sure that his mind hasn't been affected. We have to ask him, we have to quiz him with various questions to make sure that his intelligence is still normal. But once it is, then he's considered to pick up a whole dover. And for example, he can write out instructions to do things like giving a get to his wife or what have you. So the Braisa is telling us that if a person can only not hear, only not speak, then he's like a Bekeach. So that's in that we infer that from our Mishnah. We see that our Mishnah implies that same point because it's saying a cheresh, that the definition of a cheresh is somebody who doesn't have normal das, and that can only be somebody who can't hear and can't speak. So the Gemara says, "Umimai de medaba ve'en shemeya zeu cheresh, shemeya ve'en medaba zeu ilim." The Braisa had given us definition that a cheresh is somebody who can't hear and an ilim is somebody who can't speak. Where indeed do we get those definitions from? Maybe it's the other way around. The answer is, "Dichtiv." The pasuk says in Tehillim, David is talking about how he has his various enemies who are harassing him and talking lashon hara about him, and then saying derogatory things about him, for example about the whole affair with Bathsheba, etc. So he says, "Vani chcheresh le'eshma." I am like a cheresh who does not listen. Like I pretend like I'm not, like I don't hear them. Uchilim lo yiftach piv, and I'm like a mute person who doesn't open his mouth. So we see that the word cheresh and the word ilim mean those two things respectively. Tosfos says there's actually a different a medrash that learns it differently. There's a pasuk where Hashem, when Moshe is complaining that I can't go take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, I'm kvad peh kvad loshen. So Hashem tells him, "Mi sam peh adam, who gave a mouth to a person? Oy mi yosim ilay mecheresh, or who makes a person ilay mecheresh?" And therefore, so the mi sam peh is referring to both of those. So therefore, ilaim involves the mouth, and cheresh also involves the mouth, namely that the usual definition of cheresh and shas is somebody who can't speak as well as who can't hear. As opposed to, we said in the Braise that we just quoted now, where an Elam is somebody who only can't hear. But we see that they're both associated with the mouth. Okay, so that's one way of understanding that Cheresh means a person who can't hear, means a person who can't hear. And then again, in most places in Shas, including in Om Mishnah, it means who can't speak either. And Elam means exclusively somebody who exclusively can't speak. The Iboyesema, another way you can say, how you know the word Elam means a mute person. Amri Inshi, like the way people analyze the word, they people give an etymology of the word, ishtikil milule, that the word ilim is short for the words ishtikil milule, his speech has been taken away. So that helps you remember that an ilim is, that helps you remember, and that tells you that the word ilim means a person is mute. So now we said medaba ve'ena shemeya, shemeya ve'ena medaba chayev. So we said in the Braisa that if a person can speak but he can't hear, or hear but he can't speak, then he's chayev. In mitzvahs, but Bahatanya, what we learn in a brand, which would include that he's also chayev in aliyah l'regel and the korbanos of it. But the question is, Bahatanya, we learn in a brayse medaba ve'ena shemeya, shemeya ve'ena medaba potter. Another brayse says that such people would be potter as well. So then, so you have two brayses that and the implication of our Mishnah that contradict each other. Ravina says, Chasuri Masra. What it is in our Mishnah, when it mentions Cheresh Shotev Katan and puts them all in the same basket, saying, in other words, that only the Cheresh that can't hear and can't speak is Potter, Chasuri Masra, the Mishnah is missing words and Vahachi Katan. What it means to say is as follows: Hakol Chayav Mir'iyah Uva Simcha, everybody is Chayav in Mir'iyah. And in the mitzvah of simcha, the mitzvah, as we said before, to eat meat from a shlomim or from some other korban and be the simcha. Chutz mecheresh hamedaber ve'ena shemeya ve'ena medaber, except for a cheresh of any kind, not just a cheresh who can't hear and can't speak, but even a cheresh who is missing one or the other of those things. Where then the Mishnah is implying shapotim in her ear. Such people are potter from the Ri'iyah, from appearing in the Bais Mikdash and bringing an Olas Ri'iyah and Shamach Chagiga, as the last Braise said. But the Afa Picha potter in Ri'iyah Chayev the Simcha, but even though he's potter from Ri'iyah, he'd still be Chayev in Simcha, because he's still Chayev in most mitzvahs. However, a Cheresh who cannot hear or speak, who therefore doesn't have Das, and the shoyt of a cotton, as well as a shoyt and a cotton, potter afmina simcha. They are potter also from simcha, because in fact, it's not just simcha, they're really potter from all the other mitzvahs that it says in the Torah, because without das, they're not chayiv in any mitzvahs. And the Gemara says, tani nami hochi. In fact, we learn a braisa like that amended version of our Mishnah. Such people are potter from Re'iyah, but nevertheless they're chayiv in simcha to eat meat, because they're still chayiv in most mitzvahs amuras batora. Later on, which we'll learn on Motzei Shabbos, Beis Hashem, the Gemara is going to discuss why indeed it should be so. Why indeed should they be chayiv in simcha but potter from Re'iyah? Why should they be potter from Re'iyah if they can't hear or if they can't speak? The eshen and lo shemeh v'lo medaber, but if you can't hear or can't speak, the shoyt of a cotton turn after simcha, then they be potter from simcha as well. Hurlup turn become mitzvahs amoris batora, because they are in fact potter from all mitzvahs, so therefore you can't be mechayev them in simcha either. So far, that's where we're standing then. So a cheresh, so a classic cheresh, who's ainu shemeh ve'ainu medaber, who can't hear or can't speak, is potter from all mitzvahs amuris b'torah. And again, you have some discussion among the achronim about nowadays, about if he learns sign language or if they put an implant in his ear or whatever and he learns to speak, then maybe it's different. Whereas if he can only not hear, or he only can't speak, then he's chayiv in most mitzvahs. However, we're saying, including he's chayiv in the mitzvah of simcha. However, he is potter from ri'iyah, which we'll discuss tomorrow night, Bez Hashem, why that should be so.